This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Mag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
It was great.
Coming up at 3:20, Sports Hodgepodge. Oh, yeah. And then we're going to roll off, and starting in 1 hour, three guests in four segments. You'll have Ted Wynn, you'll have Stink, and you'll have Mike Golic Jr. join us for a football fest here starting in about an hour. And speaking of football, Wolchuk has your NFL news of the day. Look at that.
Let's do it. There's a ton going on. We'll start with a sad Cowboys stat.
It's from
RJ Ochoa. Since 1970, there are only three instances of a Cowboys running back with at least 45 carries and 150 or fewer rushing yards in the first seven games of the season.
Yeah.
Was any of them in the early 2000s?
Yeah. So what's your point?
What's your point? Well, settle down there, damn it. Ezekiel Elliott this year, 149 yards. He's just missing it, 48 carries. Joseph Randall, 2013, 45 carries, 111 yards.
So much meat on that Joseph Randall bone.
How about this one? 1994, which is a surprise, Lincoln Coleman, 46 carries and 134 yards.
Pathetic.
Huh.
You know, it's sad, but true.
Not good. That's a sad one. That's a sad one. We can carry over. Instead of being Cowboys sad, let's celebrate the Giants' misery. Okay? Let's just celebrate in their catastrophe. Because Daniel Jones continues to just be terrible on primetime games. I mean, did you guys see that two-point conversion they tried to run last night?
That was as bad of a football play that's ever been executed.
Ever of all time.
At any level.
Wait a minute.
Any grade level.
Zeke had the snap that time. Was that a good football play?
Well, absolutely not. We talked about that play, I think, for 5 hours straight today after that game. And it was warranted, and we should revisit it because that was as disgusting as it gets. But last night,
that was gross.
In a 2-point conversion, you're like, you have your 2-point conversion plays. You probably have a couple of them in your back pocket.
You work on them, right?
You would never know that they work on them.
They didn't work.
You would think they made something up in that moment. They had five guys out there blocking one, except none of the five blocked the one. And before Malik Nabers even has a chance to catch the ball, he's being tackled because the five guys that were there to protect him could not stop the one guy that was going at. No one knew. It was hilarious, dude.
It was so bad. It was really, really bad. Now, Daniel Jones is now 1-15, also very bad. Primetime, worst primetime record in the history of the NFL.
You know what's funny about everything there is right as they're doing the play, the disgusting 2-point conversion play, the Giants, there's the Giants graphic that Monday Night Football ESPN puts up. And this is right before the disgusting play. And it says that was the Giants' first touchdown in their last 24 drives.
Yes, I saw that.
Ooh. And it snapped, which of course was the longest active streak going in the sport.
Okay. Most wins for a Giant or a Jets quarterback since the start of last season, because both teams are 2-6 and they're really gross. And it's not getting better because the Yankees could very well get swept tonight by the Dodgers in the World Series. But which quarterback between those two franchises since the start of last season do you think has the most wins?
Giants.
Yeah, but which Giants quarterback?
It's Cutlets. Cutlets.
He's got three. He's got the second most. Zach Wilson has the most.
Oh, no.
Zach Wilson has four wins. Dude, Aaron Rodgers has three wins as a Jet. Now, he missed all last year. But yeah, Tommy DeVito has three.
Yeah, Tommy DeVito.
He's got the most Giants wins, tied with Daniel Jones at three, Zach Wilson at four. It's just been terrible football there in the Meadowlands. Now, Brian Daboll did have one smart moment.
Didn't our ladies win the basketball there, though, the other day?
They did.
The Liberty.
Yeah, the Liberty did win.
Yeah, we're happy about
that.
The refs gave it to them, to be honest.
That's fair.
Right. I'm trying to come up with...
The refs gave the Giants their one primetime win under Daniel Jones, too. That was that Commanders debacle where, was there a penalty in the end zone at the end of the game?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Tried to block that out.
Yeah.
What an awful game. I'm trying to piece together now the worst plays in football history after what the 2-point conversion looked like for the Giants last night.
Because
someone said, what about the Colts-Patriots play? There was a fake punt thing that was really bad.
I'll try and get a top 10.
Did they try and snap?
You mentioned the Zeke thing that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about any Will Levis play. I mean, didn't Will Levis do a surrender Cobra in the middle of after throwing an interception this season.
The butt fumble is the first one that comes to mind. But I might be able to break a top 10 out today of that. We could have some fun looking down terrible football history. Dable did have one shining moment, even though the broadcast was not aware of this. Like, Troy and Joe had no idea.
Put 12 men on the field, didn't he?
Yes, and the Manning cast had Bill Cowher on, and they were calling this immediately. So the Giants had two timeouts remaining and the two-minute warning, which allowed them to stop the clock after three straight plays, force a punt. So Daboll ends up penalty on purpose. So they go first timeout with 2:47 left. There's the penalty on the Giants. That gives the Steelers an automatic first down. So if they did not take the intentional penalty, Pittsburgh could have then iced the game with a first down. Instead, because the NFL has a unique loophole here, the Giants get the ball back with 1 minute and 53 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And they don't do anything with it, but regardless, Daboll at least put them in position to have a chance. And you had the T.J. Watt strip, sack, fumble of Daniel Jones. That's very apropos of what Daniel Jones does. But still, smart move there for Brian Daboll. As we like coaching loopholes here, we had our college football guy do it, Dan Lanning, there with Oregon. Now Daboll's finding a way to do it in the NFL.
Yeah, I dig this. He gets the Belichick loophole award of the week, and it's well-earned.
Brian Burns is saying the team just needs to grow up after the game. Dexter Lawrence said, I think we have to show more passion as a team. It's just bad right now with the Giants. Things are just not going well.
They found a running back, though. I mean, who is this guy?
Oh, Tyrone Tracy Jr.?
Yeah, yep. Tyrone Tracy Good Jr.
Yeah, yep. He's
Didn't they draft that guy in the first round? I think they had to draft that guy in the top 10 to get a talent like that.
Yeah, I heard he was the next Barry Sanders.
I heard he was just a surefire, no-brainer kind of selection.
Started off his career at Iowa, right, as a running back, and then went to Purdue.
Well, he was a wide receiver, and then, yeah, at Purdue, they converted him to running back.
Converted wide receiver.
So he spent 1 year last year running back. He was an exciting player. I mean, if you watch the draft show, we were all over this kid.
Yeah. All over.
I mean, and they had to pay, I think, 12 or 15 mil for Devin Singletary, right, their free agent signing.
Yeah, that was double-digit
millions.
So
no wonder
millions.
They got two guys that can go for over 5.5 a pop. Yeah,
well,
you know,
2-6 guys.
Singletary, I think, at the...
How are the Steelers six? How'd the Cowboys beat the Steelers?
Yeah. It's a gutsy win. Justin Fields.
Alex Highsmith didn't play. But
Nick Herbig got hurt.
And
Jalen Tolbert stepped up and had a hell of a game.
Yeah.
All right, we got trades that are happening in the National Football League. Yesterday, Josh Uche got traded to the Chiefs. Chiefs continue to just make moves quietly that are awesome. They get him. They give up a 2026 sixth-round pick. So they add to their pass rush. Patriots are selling parts here. Then earlier, we talked about it, but Deontay Johnson gets moved from the Panthers to the Ravens. They really don't give up much at all to acquire his services. Now, it is a rental. I get that. But still, a good move for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, you need to win big.
Yeah, they're in win-now mode. There's no question. But it's just another bad look for the Panthers. Panthers traded Dante Jackson in a sixth rounder to the Steelers to get Deontay Johnson in March, thinking, okay, maybe this is our wide receiver one for Bryce Young. Jackson started every game for the Steelers. He's got three interceptions. He's having a really good year opposite Joey Porter Jr. Now Johnson gets traded just like eight games into his career with the Panthers. That might be the worst organization going right now. Again, at least you're not the Carolina Panthers.
True.
It could be the Carolina Panthers. And then bad news for Stephon Diggs, and this is 2 years in a row now. We had a chance to get the brothers, Diggs versus Diggs, Monday Night Football, Cowboys-Texans. Last year, Buffalo, you go there. Trayvon wasn't able to play. He had the injury. Now Stephon Diggs, unfortunately, suffering a season-ending injury. He tore his ACL, and he won't be getting to play against his brother either. So we'll see how that impacts Houston. They should, of course, get Nico Collins back, hopefully. But right now, that's the Tank Dell show.
Tough week for the Diggs family. You know, Stephon injured rest of the season. Trayvon, was that a crash out?
I don't think it was a crash out. You think it was a crash out?
A little straightening.
It was
straightening.
It's okay. The emotional straightening, though. It's almost a crash out.
It was close.
If he would have kept on going back and forth with him, it would have crashed on out.
He doesn't turn around. And if he does something after the D's nuts comments, then we're going full crash out.
Yeah, if he really starts to scream, you know, and like get crazy with the tone. Yeah. But he kept
somebody's
got to
grab him or something like that.
Hold me back, bro. The Colts have changed quarterback. And we'll get more to maybe during the expressway. We'll get more to back to the Diggs and Parsons audio. They talked about that yesterday.
Okay.
Quarterback change for the Colts. Indianapolis benching former first rounder Anthony Richardson. They're turning to veteran Joe Flacco. The coaches met this morning. They made the decision to move on from Anthony Richardson, at least for right now. I think it's the right decision. I wouldn't have gone back to him either. Joe Flacco, I do think, gives them a better chance to win. You mentioned it. I heard you texted into KNC earlier that GM needs to win.
He needs to win.
And they might just know they've already made a mistake with Anthony Richardson. He can't stay healthy. Obviously, the stats throwing the football are atrocious. But it's really, you've just never seen a quarterback ever do what he did. And it sucks that he was honest at the mic, and this is now going to come back to hurt him by saying, like, I was just tired. But as a professional NFL quarterback, you don't tap the helmet and say, I need to come out of the football game right now, especially third and goal situation. Game still winnable right now. It's just a really, really bad look for the young man. Hopefully he grows from it, and it's not his last chance. But I think the Colts, personally, they're doing the right thing here.
It's just a sign, you know, he's not doing everything that it takes to do his job. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. You know, the fact that he didn't know that he couldn't do that, that's just, you know, strange. But I think you've seen enough football from him that if you put Joe Flacco in, like the Browns ignored this very clear sign last year and are having another atrociously embarrassing season until Jameis Winston comes in and saves you. If Joe Flacco comes in and is significantly better than your starting quarterback, it's just time to move on. Save yourself the embarrassment. Eat the major cap hit now. You know, we have clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess with you have to be a little bit more, you have to be a little bit more small picture thinking if you're trying to save your job as the general manager or the head coach or whatever. So I get that. But ultimately, like, Joe Flacco's leading you nowhere. It's not like you're doing any type of contending with him. Well, so why wouldn't you keep sticking it out with your quarterback that you drafted in the top 10 and he's only that was his 10th start.
Yeah, you might be getting pressure from ownership there. You know, with Ursay. You might
Be getting, so like yeah, all
you,
that. Like,
listen, you either make this switch or you're gone at the end of the year.
Well, then you definitely make the switch.
And the rest of the players on that team might have just lost respect for him.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that's true.
Joe Flacco playing these games, playing for the Colts, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. The other guy's 4 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. You know?
They can be a playoff team.
It's that's what I'm saying.
Clear who's better right now.
They're banking on, they're trying to salvage a 4-4 is what they're trying. I mean, that's what they are right now.
Yeah.
But they're trying to find a way. You know, that was a bad loss for them the other day against Houston. Now they're 2 games back. And they've got a pretty tough schedule. It's what I was talking about at the end of, like, the end of November into December. They've got a bunch of winnable games. They can't just afford to put Richardson out there and all of a sudden lose all these games and then think, oh, wow, well, maybe we should have, you know, maybe we should have done this earlier. You know, I think that's why. I bet you Ursay had something to do with this one.
Probably. I mean, he definitely seems like he would meddle here and there. There's no doubt about that. Let's get to the Bengals and Joe Burrow. They lost to the Eagles. And right now they're sitting at 3-5. Look, for a second, maybe things were turning around. They went 1-4. They win a couple of games. Thought they'd have a chance to beat the Eagles at home. They didn't. Joe Burrow not losing hope. Do you think this is doable? Here's Joe.
That's a team.
You know, I always, you know, I think 10 wins usually gets you in. So we got to win 7 out of 9. That's doable. It's doable. So we'll go from there.
They got the Vegas Raiders next. I think that's winnable. At Baltimore, tough divisional game. Chargers, they could win that one. They got the Steelers twice. They got the Cowboys, the Titans, the Browns, the Broncos. Think they can go 7 out of 9 here?
It's going to be super tough with their defense is so bad, yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, the Eagles just had their way with them. Yeah. The Eagles have had their fair share of issues offensively this year, and they were just able to do whatever they wanted. They were able to work on stuff. It was like the first time all year you saw Jalen Hurts throwing in the middle of the field. Yeah. Like, it's the Bengals. We can do it. They don't have any pass rush. I think he was pressured on 3 dropbacks.
Yeah.
They have nothing.
I mean, they've got Trey Hendrickson, and that's it. I mean, they're really lacking pass rush help. But it's the Eagles are undefeated this year when A.J. Brown plays.
Well, he is he's an absolute monster.
I mean, he's clearly a big difference for them.
Huge.
When he's playing and he's not playing. It's basically been wins or losses for them. But I don't know. I mean, you guys know my I believe in Joe Burrow. I do. I wouldn't put it past him to do this, but I don't think it's likely.
It kind of looked like when he was first in the league for his couple of years that he would be good enough to carry a team that didn't have all the answers, but they paid him. It's been a decline. And now, you know, I think it's clear Joe needs a lot of help, just like every other quarterback. Yeah. you know, and they have gone back to being the Bengals as far as their ability to acquire talent. They probably spend less cash than the Cowboys when it comes to free agency. So I wouldn't be surprised if we've already seen the best of Joe Burrow's postseason career, Wolchuk. Sorry to say that. I believe in the guy, but if I was in Joe's family right now, I would be like so many Cowboys family members trying to get him traded.
Well, he'd be looking to make history. I mean, I still don't think we have a quarterback that's ever lost their first Super Bowl appearance and come back to win it. So he's trying to do something that nobody's ever done, which is a crazy stat. But, I mean, happened to Dan Marino, goes to a Super Bowl, never able to get back.
Never got back.
Right. Yeah. So Jalen Hurts could be one of those guys for the Eagles. Brock Purdy.
I mean, the advanced metrics have them in the top 10 offensively.
Offense is still good.
But their defense is, it's only the Cowboys, the Jags, the Panthers.
Ouch.
That's worse.
Mm. Tough to see. Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Okay, Krusty's Corner is right around the corner, coming up at 3:40. Of course, tomorrow he'll be previewing the opponent offense as we'll start to get a look at Atlanta, and then on Thursday, the defense. A sports hodgepodge is next, though. Chief, what's in store?
Yes, we LOL at the NYC, and we have your college football clip of the day next here in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Krusty's Corner is coming up here in about 15 minutes. You'll hear Brada stand and deliver his football thoughts. Right now, it's a sports hodgepodge reminder. Tomorrow, the last Flagtober stop, Whataburger off 161 in Grand Prairie, the one next to the Walmart Supercenter, if you're wondering. I know there's two on 161, a service road, basically. Segment here, though, brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been injured due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here's the chief of the sports hodgepodge.
Okay, I don't know if you guys have heard the Bears radio call of the sad Hail Mary play, but we will have to play that for you here in just a minute. Last night in the Mavs game, there were a couple of Klay Thompson moments that we didn't get to in the rim. Late in the fourth quarter, he has a nice kind of Dirk turnaround fade there on the Dirk logo, which was kind of a cool moment there in the fourth quarter. But did you guys also see him digging in his nose in a way that you almost never see an athlete doing because they know there are cameras around? He is at the senior citizen stage in his professional career where you just give no bleeps anymore. Just like your 75-year-old, just like, what do I care? I'll do whatever, wherever, say whatever. He's at that point in his basketball career where he's like, I don't care. I will be knuckle deep with my index finger into, like, he's basically touching his brain a little bit, and he has no care in the world. I don't know if you guys saw that.
He must have been almost there. It's like right there.
Teasing him.
A little snot rocket.
Always get you the Kleenex, man. Just go for the Kleenex.
Is that the move there for you?
Yeah, just go to the Kleenex. Mm-hmm. If you know, just figure out.
Wouldn't you just blow your nose in that towel that you have around your neck and then throw it to the towel boy? Yeah, hey, exactly. Watch that inside,
dog.
Yeah, I mean, if you learned anything from Mark Mangino yesterday.
You were surprised by that, weren't you?
Yeah, and I still am. I haven't even brought myself to really go dig into those particular trenches.
But you just spent all last night going down that rabbit hole.
I was very close to it, but I was like, I'm gonna wait on this. But I will. I promise you, I will. And we will.
That was something we all knew in the scouting world of the Big 12.
I was thinking maybe Throwback Thursday. I was also thinking about asking all of our guests that are on today. We have three guests today, football guys. Mm-hmm. How many of them have the same Mark Mangino size blind spot that I have? Or are they just all, is Ted Wynn, is Mark Schlereth stink apropos, and of course Gojo at 6 o'clock? Are those three football gentlemen all, are they going to go 3 for 3 going, yes, of course, we all know about the Mangino booty towels?
I think for sure Schlereth and Gojo, 100%, because I think this is like a sports radio type of legend. You know, Jim Rome used to talk about this incessantly about 15 years or so ago. That's how I was so familiar with it.
Oh, okay. Well, kudos to Rome then. He was playing the hits.
I think Wynn's a film guy.
He is. He has tendencies. He might be the one that doesn't know, but Gojo would have been my guess. It's like leader in the clubhouse. He's going to know that.
He's going to know.
He's an encyclopedia.
Okay, so do you guys want to hear from the funny Aggie player, or do you guys want to hear the sad radio call for the Bears?
Radio call.
All right, we take you to Aggie. The Chicago Bears radio network.
By the way, this Klay Thompson clip is hilarious, and I love Spencer Dinwiddie in the background. Like, is this real life right now?
Yeah, it's a good point about Dinwiddie.
He's going to act like I don't see this over here.
Here is the sad Bears radio call. You'll hear right out of the gates a mispronunciation on the Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin's name. You'll hear a couple of hiccups along the way because they are shocked and sad all at the same time. Take it away, Bears.
To the left, McLaurin. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
Tipped,
and it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish. The breakup pass into the waiting arms of Noah Brown. Nobody back there. Crushing loss. 18-15 Washington. Hail Mary, 2 seconds left. Or as they like to say here, Hail Washington. That is the gut punch of gut punches.
Gut punch.
4 plays, 76 yards, and 25 stinking seconds.
Stinking seconds. Unreal. 25 stinking seconds.
Man, that sounds incredibly uncomfortable to get pinched and punched at the same time. That's a gut pinch and a gut punch.
Yeah.
Tragic.
I feel like move.
I feel like as a poker player, I know that feeling well when it's like, okay, just don't be a three. Just don't be a three. I'm good. I'm doubling up. Yeah. What? There's freaking 13 cards in the deck. I saw 2 threes get mucked into the pile from this guy down here 2 hands ago. And
they got mucked so hard.
Wow.
And for that to end that way, yeah, you just witnessed the one in a million kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And it went against you. So
that's runner. That's like, okay, just don't have a 3 on the turn and a 4 on the river to make this guy straight with his pathetic ace. I flopped the set. We're good to go, boys. Aussie, freaking Chris Moneymaker in the house. Nope.
Chris Money loser. How about this for another one in a million deal? This is my favorite stat of the day. It's your sports equinox stat of the day. Did you see this? The New York City, first time, first metro city to lose a game in Major League Baseball, the NBA, the MLS, and the NFL on the same day in the regular or postseason.
So they did worse than even Philadelphia did a few years back when they lost everything on the same day.
Oh, that's yes, right. Yes.
This is magical.
I mean, you had every one of your team, and it's high stakes, of course, in your World Series game. And then every game in NFL feels like it's high stakes, but the Giants were doomed from the jump. But, yeah, the Knicks lose last night, and then whatever their MLS team is, they all took that L last night.
Is that the Red Bull? New York, the Red Bull?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're the
New York Red Bulls, yeah.
The Red Bulls. Well, congratulations to them. They made history last night. Mm. All right, here is the defensive back for Texas A&M. This guy's great. B.J. Mays. He intercepted Garrett Nussmeier of LSU not once but twice on Saturday at Kyle Field.
In the second half.
And he relived both of those interceptions after the game.
First interception, I seen the scramble drill, so I knew scramble drill applies to your man. I ran, then I seen the quarterback. He looked at us. Then he caught back. I'm like, ain't no way he finna throw this. You see me right here. Like, ain't no way he finna throw that. But shit, he threw it, and you know the rest is history, you feel me? First, the second one, I seen Lacey in the slot. We was in the coverage, so I wanted to bang him, make sure I got a real bang on him, because I know he had a slot fade. So I ain't want to let him get in his route too much. Bang him, ran to the flat. Another thing, I'm looking like, ain't no way he finna throw this ball. He threw it. The rest was history. That's what it was.
Yeah. It's a pretty awesome play-by-play there.
He's not throwing it to me.
Yeah, my apologies for letting that one slip through the cracks.
Nearly got us fined and thrown off the air, sir.
That was tough. Lot, dude. I've had a pretty good run there of
it was a good run.
Clean.
Start a new one.
I didn't know that college players were cussing at the presser mic now.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was just the NFL guys.
No.
The NBA guys.
They see what's going on here with, you know, with ESPN and all that stuff.
That's disappointing.
I think the last time this happened was when crosstalk with CA got really spicy.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that was the dis-a-freaking-peered.
That's right.
Night. Had multiple F-bombs. One show.
I feel like there were a couple of F-bombs thrown in the Brady household yesterday when he got the TMZ news the same way we all did about Giselle having a child.
He probably said, yes.
With the jujitsu instructor.
Supposedly.
You think this was a good day for Tom?
Yeah.
Did you see his social media?
What'd he do?
I feel for him, man. He was down yesterday.
Song?
I feel like the karate guy is probably disappointed.
Yeah, he put the Fleetwood Mac cover.
This supposed to be a side girl. Now we got a baby together.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Supposed to get her husband's money. We supposed to chill.
Yeah.
Take vacations. Now I got to watch kids.
Yeah, but now, I mean, because she's the breadwinner.
She is the breadwinner.
So isn't he going to get a piece of that if things fall apart?
Maybe. But look, if she was getting extra money, she'll give some money away.
Yeah.
Now she's got to watch it, make sure, you know, you don't come and try to get the money when it's time for divorcing.
Well, Tom.
Like Halle Berry's old boys, yeah. Every one of them.
See, Tom,
all of those guys.
Tom ain't bringing food for his kid, you know?
No.
Yeah. Just mine.
You know what I'm saying?
Just my two.
Yeah, a lot of these videos, these are hilarious, these TikTok videos. Like, the women always complaining about, man, you got to bring food for all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't my kid.
No.
I ain't bringing food for
I got a
kid.
Number seven for my son.
Yeah. This is, here it is.
You boys,
well, that ain't
call
fair.
Your daddies.
It ain't, yeah. It, seriously, like, well, that ain't fair. Well, it's my kid.
Dad's yeah. here.
No, that's my dad. Yeah. Wasn't fair with
Daddy
you
bought me some shoes.
Yeah,
dang.
That's exactly the way it's working, man. That's exactly what's working.
He had a sad sunset photo with three hearts, and the caption read, "Can the child within my heart rise above? Question mark.
What?
And the song that was playing was Landslide, but it was the
Fleetwood
the,
Mac,
the,
wasn't it?
But it was the cover from the Dixie Chicks, I believe.
Oh.
He had some time supposedly to think what about what he wanted to put. Like, I guess Giselle told him before the report
came
out.
The news broke.
That's allegedly what happened.
Doesn't this probably make it that she fell in love and left him?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, she's out. She was probably sitting at home.
And she blamed him, remember? She blamed him because that's how it's the game.
I just don't feel appreciated. No, you got a story in your head about going off on some romantic journey that you could no longer do with your husband, so you had to
Shut
find
up,
somebody
Prince.
Else. Yeah, okay.
Here's your ultimatum, family or football? Meanwhile, I've been getting with the jiu-jitsu coach here for years.
Here you have both family and football.
He needs to be paid this week, too, by the way.
He's quite the grappler. I imagine that Tom Brady was up well into the night having like moments like this relived in his brain.
Oh, shoot. Is that me?
That's Kevin.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Hey, Kevin.
Kevy. Oh,
you left Bill Belichick high and dry, man. You left him. And then you went to Tampa and you won a championship. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Thank you.
You left Bill Belichick with Mac Jones. Damn. Oh, you f***ed him. You f***ed him good. You did. You did, Tom. You f***ed your coach. But let me tell you something, people. Let me tell you something. That's what you got to do to maintain your happiness. You understand? You sometimes got to f*** your coach. You know who else f*** their coach? Giselle. She f***ed that karate man. No. Listen. What?
Karate man.
I mean, Tom, one of the smartest quarterbacks ever played a game. How did you not see this coming? Eight karate classes a day. Yeah. Eight karate classes a day. Eight karate classes a day. And she's still a white belt. She's still a white belt. Tom?
Oh, that's good. Couldn't go to sleep last night.
Yeah, no wonder she was so mad about that.
Tom will be broadcasting with a heavy heart this Sunday.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Brian, what's in the corner today?
Yeah, I've got some questions for my guys I need answered. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation. Time now for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus. It's brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's himself, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. A little behind the scenes, we're all talking about having a weight loss contest here.
Yeah, you want in on this, Lucius? Thinking about starting Friday until the Monday before Thanksgiving, about a 3.5-week run.
See how much, who can lose the most or whatever?
Yeah. Thinking about a weigh-in Friday.
Okay. Who works out the most?
You do.
Yeah, you do, Lucius.
Okay, who works out? I should have asked. That's the wrong question. who doesn't work out at all?
The least, me.
The least, probably me.
I walk.
I walk, yeah. That's
all
it.
I do is walk. I don't lift any weights.
You don't lift any? Do you watch what you eat and everything?
I will now because I'm in a weight contest.
He's going to lose
Friday.
The most.
Yeah.
Some guys that shocked the body to get the most results.
See, that means I can't.
I've done this before.
Yeah.
I kind of know how this goes.
Yeah.
So Chuck loves getting shocked.
Yeah. I like the idea, though.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay,
nice.
Yeah. That's good.
I got six to drop, so it give me some motivation.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It'll be fun.
I got to shake that fear off of me.
Yes, no Friday. Yeah. So no Friday chili dogs and stuff like that. Are we done with that?
It's not to say that you can't still pick your spots.
Yeah, you always get a cheat day.
Okay, I'll still bring food on Fridays then.
Yeah, you should.
But this Friday, I'm
sabotage.
Out.
Sabotage. He's going to sabotage.
Exactly. Go ahead and sabotage.
That's sabotage.
He's going to fatten him up.
Get Chia Fowler's mom to make those.
Put some gravy on there, boys. And I cooked it in some little bacon grease and put some butter on there for you, boys. Tell me how you like it.
No, I ate some at home. I'm
cholesterol
good. I don't
need just anything. Screaming.
I already had mine.
Yeah, don't worry about me. I've already eaten already. Yeah. Lucia, that's actually really good. Good job. All right, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Got the questions for you here today. Tuesdays, I like to ask some questions. Wednesdays and Thursdays, we talk about the opponent. But today, I'm going to ask you these questions. Do you expect changes at safety this week after the 49ers game?
Yes, I do expect changes. I'm still blown away at the Mike Zimmer plan of having Donovan Wilson be the guy that you want covering George Kittle on National Tight Ends Day. I thought that was ridiculous, and they just kept going back to it. It was way late in the game before they started to change things up. But yeah, I don't know how you can watch that game and not feel that way. I think you're playing with basically the two worst safeties according to Pro Football Focus. I think you Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson are considered basically the two worst safeties in the league. And you have younger Wanya Thomas, younger Marquise Bell, yeah. Guys that like they're good enough to not be the worst in the league. Like your two guys are right now,
Wooly.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I mean, that's what we'd heard about Zim, right? If you're not getting it done, then he's going to put somebody else in there. So I don't expect Malik Hooker to not be out there, but I think you could see a change with Donovan Wilson.
100%. I think Malik Hooker isn't great either, but, you know, he's smarter. He's been kind of tough in the running game. And I just think Donovan Wilson is the exact kind of player that if you bring in Mike Zimmer has to go. And, you know, it was only because of his contract situation that they aren't moving on from him sooner. But this seals his fate. He'll be elsewhere next year.
Yeah, you know what? The way they flipped it into the game is they brought Wanya Thomas in over Bell is what they did. And I wonder if they did it just because of the coverage aspect. That they think that maybe that they're not totally comfortable with Bell being a cover guy. Comfortable with him playing down. We saw how well he plays in the box.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How many tackles he can make. That's a positive. But I think they put Wanya Thomas in this mix now because, and I guarantee I'm going to watch this Atlanta film, and Atlanta and Kirk Cousins, they're going to attack. They attack the middle of the field with their tight end with Pitts and these other receivers. I think London on the outside is more of a vertical player, down the field type guy. But I guarantee that we'll probably see some type of switch this week at that safety spot. Wooly.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something you'd absolutely do to help this team that they most likely wouldn't do.
Ooh, I'd be trying to trade for defensive linemen, and I don't think that they're going to make any trades.
That's what I'm saying. They're not. Yeah, they're probably not going to do this, something you would do that they absolutely will not do.
I mean, I could say just make a trade in general because, for me, they have at least done some trades when it comes to Brandon Cooks, Stephon Gilmore. You can go back to Jonathan Hankins. They don't really do anything in free agency. So if I'm able to make a trade and I've got a bunch of comp picks that I'm about to get in here, it's just unrealistic to expect that the draft every single year is going to be enough. You've got to replenish your roster in some other form. So if you get a guy that's under control for more than just, say, this year, I would love to still add somebody. Even if you don't think this team's going anywhere, that's totally fine. I've still got him for the foreseeable future.
A lot of ways you could go this on the micro level, individual examples. I would just say overarching the thing that they need would be to get a new GM in here. Mm-hmm. You know, so that would be my thing. A real GM, preferably, that knows the Shanahan family well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean that you can't really beat that. I was gonna say, could you find a way to snap your fingers and change the playbook the same way you did last year? But I don't see that happening either.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm at the point now where it's just play all your younger guys.
You're already playing young guys though because of all the injuries, right? You're already doing that,
you
know, right?
Yeah, I guess for the most part, but like Rico Dowdle probably should be your running back,
sure.
Or even Deuce Vaughn over just running out Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
But it's tough, man. There's so many issues. It's
I mean, how would you answer that question?
I would trade out Mike McCarthy as a play caller.
Yeah.
That's something I would do. I would give Brian Schottenheimer a chance. Yeah. You know, and where Brian Schottenheimer's been before, they've been able to run the ball, and maybe that's been because of some scheme, or maybe the way he kind of gets into in and out of his plays. I don't trust this play caller anymore. I really don't. He's too inconsistent for me when it comes to how, like, you look terrible, and then you feel like you made a couple adjustments, you look good, and then you look terrible again. There's no rhyme or reason really with his play calling. You know, I just don't see it, and it's something I know they won't do, but I'd absolutely love just to see Brian Schottenheimer call plays and see if that can make a difference. You know, if not, they're all going to be gone anyway.
Mm-hmm. They should absolutely be trying different things.
Yeah.
You have to know how big of an issue is a Mike McCarthy. How big of an issue is Anthony Richardson if you're the Colts, and it's, yeah, you know, trial by error.
Yeah. Dawson.
Yeah.
This offense needs Brandon Cooks back in the worst way.
I would say no. You know, I think Brandon Cooks is washed, and he joined the other below average wide receivers in this room outside of CeeDee Lamb.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Yeah. Brandon Cooks isn't fixing much here. They don't really know how to get the most out of him anyways. The thing that they need, how did you describe that?
In the worst way.
In the worst way, yeah. they need a new offense.
Okay.
I think they do need him back. I mean, I still think he's a good receiver. Now, he might have been hampered because of the injury a little bit, but the big thing is, how are they going to utilize him? And they're, to me, just not being utilized really well. But you need him because, I mean, you just saw against the Niners. How many other threats do you have? Maybe that ball's going to Brandon Cooks. It's not going to Kevontae Turpin. That'll help you.
Chieftain, was this just a one-off for Dalvin Cook?
I could see that being the case for sure, because they're not going to sit Zeke, and I think they just saw that Rico. I mean, you should have already been seeing this, but Rico's clearly your best back. So I could see maybe one more opportunity for Cook, but I don't expect to see him much more.
How about you there, Willie? Is this a one off for Dalvin Cook?
I'm kind of scared and think it is, but I'm going to say no. I think they're still going to give him another chance. The problem is, what they're going to end up needing to do is probably make Ezekiel Elliott inactive at some point, and I don't believe that they want to do that, in which case they would sacrifice Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I think it makes no sense. I think Dalvin Cook showed enough in the game, not maybe in his stat line. What was it, 6 carries for 12 yards? It was a bad stat line, but watching him run the ball, he seems like a more credible threat than everybody in that running back room, except for Rico Dowdle. But I think unless you have an injury or an illness, I think, you know, the decision makers over there favor the other guys a lot more. And I hate to say it, but again, it's sometimes it's about more about who you're friends with over there for getting contracts, for getting, you know, snaps, than how good you are. And it's unbelievable. I can't believe how normalized it is. But that's just like, yeah, of course, you know, that's going to happen. That has room for no margin of error on a championship team with championship culture. Anybody sees that, and it's such an eyesore. It's like, oh my God, that happened on this team. We're not committed to winning. I don't have to see anything else. I don't have to look up the 30 years of history. This is happening. Everybody on that team gets less competitive as a result of seeing just how that whole process happens. And then once you realize it's normalized and it's happening in other places, no wonder you don't have a good culture. You have no morale. You know, how could you possibly look any decision maker in the eye and respect them? You don't respect the Joneses because they don't know football well enough. You don't respect the coaches because they won't stand up to the horrible leadership above them. You know, they just capitulate and get cucked right there in their own press conferences.
It's one of the worst places to have that happen.
Yeah, it is, dude.
Cameras, yeah. Reporters.
Yeah, Jerry's
that's
the daddy.
Viral.
Yeah,
that's on film. Yeah.
Viral cucking is the worst kind of cucking.
Can't even run the team the way you want to as a head coach in the NFL. And Mike, he turned yellow about what, halfway into his first season. After he was like, oh wow, it really is like this. I better go back to being cool so I can keep this job for 5 years.
Yeah, I think the intention was, before, like Saturday night, I think the idea was to play Dalvin Cook and have others inactive. I can say there's a lot of questions about really if Rico Dowdle was sick or not. I think the intent was that they were going to play Dalvin Cook. I think they're going to give Dalvin Cook another chance. I don't think this is a one-off thing at all. I think they're going to give him another chance. Okay, my final question for you guys real quick, if I can. Were you encouraged by what you saw from Tyler Guyton at all?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I thought Tyler Guyton actually played pretty well for the most part. I mean, I think that he's growing. I thought it was much better than the previous outing that he had. Sure. So, I mean, that's something that's really what I care about. How are Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton developing along that offensive line? I thought Beebe was good again. Mm-hmm. Keep it going with Tyler Guyton. I think he was taking steps in the right direction.
Chief?
Yeah, agreed. There's still some issue. I feel like he gets beat inside plenty.
Sure.
Not
strong enough there right now.
Yeah, he needs that strength.
But there's a competitive spirit to him. Yeah. That I appreciate. And he was like the 10th best tackle of the week, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
So he was not the glaring issue that other dudes were, especially Terrence Steele on the offensive line.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. You know, he needed a game like that to get momentum heading in the back right direction, and hopefully he builds on this.
Yeah, I think so too. That they helped him with some double team stuff and kind of that's what you got to do. But his footwork, his hands, body position far better than it's been in the previous week. So thank you guys. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Brian. Mark Schlereth in 1 hour. Ted Wind from The Athletic joins us next right here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll be talking football with you here on 105.3 The Fan.